Live from the studios of KVTA, Ventura County's inspiration station, this is The Kim Pagano Show. Kim is Ventura County's mom and so much more, bringing value every day in every way. Join Kim and her friends every Saturday as they interview interesting and inspirational guests, everyone from authors and entertainers to doctors and experts. From A to Z, Kim's got you covered. And now here's Ventura County's mom and so much more. It's Kim Pagano.
Good morning, everyone, and welcome. Welcome to The Kim Pagano Show. I'm Kim. And of course, I always start our show with something uplifting. And today's is never regret anything that made you smile. We had an incredible mixer. And of course, Craig Shoemaker was there talking about laughing. It's so important. We've got a great show. And of course, let's bring our first guest on. He's one of our sponsors and been with us for a really long time. And of course, really excited to talk about this next thing because really, honestly, so many people are going through traumas in their life. And why not bring it to surface and talk about it? And of course, I always start our show with something uplifting. And today's is happiness is actually an inside job. It's so appropriate for what we're talking about. And of course, my sponsor is Norman Thatcher, TNT Anger Management. And Norman, welcome and thank you so much for being here.
Thank you, Kim. Thank you for having me. It's always a pleasure and being with your show and giving out some education.
Yeah. And I know that we're going to talk a little bit about intervention and really the four stages of trauma. And first, before we get started, how can people find you and what exactly do you do?
Well, they can find me one of two ways, either on a phone call, 818-264-6255, or on my website, which is www.tntams.com. And basically, what I do is provide interventions for anger management, stress management, mental health, and communication skills for the community of San Fernando Valley in Ventura County, but I'm also nationwide on Zoom through all 50 states, and my goal is to support and educate people on what's bringing them in after the consultation.
I love that. And I really wanted to say to our listeners, don't be afraid to call. Don't put this call off. If you need help, sometimes it's just a simple conversation. And don't you agree with me, Norman?
I do. Actually, there's a video on my website which gives a little two-minute video vignette of what is how a call looks like, what the process looks like. And like I mentioned right on the video, the hardest part of this is just allowing yourself to make that call, not feel ashamed of yourself. You're doing it for yourself as education to get support and intervention, and I'm here to help you with that. So I know the first call might be initially people are nervous, but I provide a safe and quiet environment to help you work on whatever you've got going on.
I love that. So back to kind of what we were going to talk about this morning here is intervention and really the four stages of trauma and like what it looks like. Obviously, our hearts go out to all the people that were affected by the fire. I personally know people that have lost everything where they can't even almost conduct work. And yesterday, even on, you know, TV, I saw a lady that she had to leave one of the shelters and she needed medical attention and then they wouldn't let her back in. There's just so many things we don't hear about if we're not in that world, which thank God. But, you know, what about all the people that are just trying to make it through day to day to day, their family, their kids' school's not there. I mean, there's just so many factors. Maybe their business, you know, had burned down. Maybe they were just an employee at the business. Like, how do they support, you know, their feelings and the stages that they feel?
Well, like you did mention, there are stages after trauma events, and I guess we'll we'll kind of take these a little bit out of order, but what you're basically saying is the third step of one of the stages is reconnection. And reconnection is basically identifying the lost parts of and feelings of getting integrated back into society of what has happened to you. So that is where some of the intervention is building trust again back with the community, back with just what has happened, and it's a trauma event that is going to take some time. So since it's been about 30 days since these fires in Southern California, which I'm kind of prioritizing right now as the events, you know, it's now time. Okay, maybe people have gotten over the shock of what has happened, and they're rebuilding literally their emotional lives, their physical lives, their financial lives, and their home lives. I have a friend that actually lost their whole home in Altadena, you know, who I worked with when I was a teenager, and I'm in my 60s now. So I just feel so sorry for her and her family, and there's all the multiple other families that my heart just goes out to them, because it's just events that are just so traumatic. But here we are, and I'm trying to kind of hopefully help people put the pieces back together.
I love that. Yeah, and my heart goes out to those people too. I mean, there's so many. It's a city. It's like a whole town wiped out, businesses, and, you know what I mean? And now people are having trauma with just moving all of the, you know, the ashes, and there's just a lot of, you know, situations brought up from this. So let's start with what is the first stage of the four stages?
Well, after, you know, on the TV, like you were saying, there was right after all these fires started, people were losing their homes and literally losing their lives. There was, you know, a therapist and professional providers conducting immediate trauma intervention for what just recently happened. But after time has passed, there is four stages. So we will kind of categorize this. I don't have there's not a set date or time of after, you know, a trauma event happens. Everybody moves individually at their own pace. But the first one is basically kind of reconnecting with safety. So safety could mean your emotional safety, meaning finding professional help, seeking somebody that you feel safe with. And that's what I provide in my offices in Westlake Village, and Westlake Village is just a safe environment where you physically feel safe. Part of that also is the spending time with family and friends, feeling safe that they're in a safe place, you're in a safe place, and then obviously your bodily safety of making sure that you're taking care of your body, because your body has just been through a traumatic event. And, you know, you want to get back, if you were going to the gym or taking walks, get back into those routines.
100%. Yep. And so then what about, like, you know, a parent that has to take care of their children or their caretaker? Or how does that work?
Well, that's part of, obviously, the reconnecting of identifying the lost parts. It's not just what you have been through. Maybe you were safe, but your parents were, you know, affected by these fires. I don't know the home, the facility, but there was one facility that is an elderly care assistant.
Yeah, I saw that too. Yeah,
and there was, you know, a lot of families were, you know, just disarrayed and had to, you know, take care of their family because they couldn't be in their facility. So that's just something that families have to pull together, and that's actually part of the reconnecting part of taking care not just of yourself but of family members also.
Right. So, okay, so really finding time for your family. So you all of a sudden almost become a caretaker, correct?
Yeah, well, you know, it's, you know, yourself first, family, you know, as much as you can do to spread yourself out with, you know, supporting family and friends and work and everything. It's a lot on one person. So that's why, you know, we're going looping back to the beginning of making initial calls, like you mentioned, to professionals and giving yourself that self-growth of not feeling ashamed of having to call a therapist or a psychiatrist or a nursing educator. You're helping yourself and don't look at it as a, you know, as a weakness. But part of that, you know, process is also allowing growth. And that's also part of the second phase, which is the mourning period of processing your emotions, allowing yourself time and growth after these events have happened, and trying to just, you know, work a day at a time. And that's, you know, that's all we can do. And like you and I always say, we're always better together. And people are out there. One of the, I guess, bright spots that I've heard on the TV that I totally agree that is, you know, this is obviously a traumatic event for, you know, Malibu and all parts of, you know, Southern California. But there are good things that have come from this, and it's just watching the city, your neighbors working together to help your fellow neighbor that you might not have known for like 2 years. And now
100%
they're out there,
I love that.
You know, fighting fires with their own hoses on your house. And it's that's very great to see. And it's unfortunate sometimes it takes these events to make togetherness happen. But that's kind of how, you know, we get so routined into work in our life that sometimes that this is what it takes, unfortunately.
I love that. Yeah, you're right. And then really the trusting other people, right? And then the lost parts, right, of really regathering again. As long as your body and your family are safe, sometimes the materialistic things are just have to be let go of, right?
Yes, and actually you know, I know a lot of people probably have their own views of, you know, what are the firefighters doing, letting these houses burn down to the ground? Well, I'm sure they have their protocols of, you know what, it's obviously human life first, building second. That's
right.
That's the way it is. So when you see these buildings and homes just being, you know, we can't get to that because the human life is the priority. It's sad to watch, but part of the actually fourth stage of stages of dealing with post traumas is the integration of your brain. Your brain also has been through a traumatic event, and I was actually doing some research on this subject last night, and there was a therapist talking about when your brain has been traumatized, it takes some time to get back into the normal routine. So even though it's been a month or 6 weeks or however long it's specifically been, she was basically saying that the clients that she sees, her work is to have the integration of the brain get back into a routine. So the client is basically working on their symptoms, their reactions, and where I kind of fit in, again, just to put my disclaimer out there, I'm not a therapist, but I do anger management, and one of the things that she said was working on anger, working on the reactions of, you know, getting back into, quote, the normal routine and allowing yourself to have social engagement again. And, you know, this is part of the small piece that I play to help people get back into just integrating their life, their finances, their brain, their physical body, their finances, just everything back into, you know, what is normal for them. One thing that I did read is it's going to take us, you know, probably years to rebuild the whole city of Malibu. It's going to probably take like 100 years. It will be way past our lifetime before we actually see the way the beauty of it was, you know, 2 months ago before all this happened. So, I, you know, you just stop and think about that. It's like, you know, it's just It's just really
beyond. Yeah, it's beyond our thinking. So again, Norman, first of all, thank you so much for coming on and sharing all of these incredible ways to recover and really what we go through. And again, give out your information so that our listeners can know where to go. And let me just tell you, if I know anybody, I would totally recommend them to Norman Thatcher. He's got such a big community heart and really is there to help so many people. And again, Norman Thatcher, TNT Anger Management.
Thank you, Kim. Yeah, my contacts, again, are phone number 818-264-6255. My website is www.tntams.com. And my email is thatchernorman74@gmail.com.
There you go. I love it. All right. Well, enjoy, and thank you again. And please continue to share our show with everyone.
I will, Kim. Everybody be safe, and thanks again for having me.
You got it. Have a really great rest of your weekend. Talk to
you
soon.
Take care.
You're listening to The Kim Pagano Show, The Brighter Side of Life. Stay with us. We'll be right back.
TNT Anger Management Services knows that sometimes we get overwhelmed at work and home with our deadline. Try these three tips to help you regain order and focus. Number one, staying focused on the priority should be your main objective. Number two, we all know the word multitasking is highly overrated, so try to keep it simple. Number three, set boundaries for yourself, eliminating side talk and chatter, which can be really disrupting when you have a deadline. These are just some ways to collect oneself, complete your lead task. For more information, visit tntams.com. Or if you're experiencing a lack of focus and anger, please feel free to call Norman Thatcher, the facilitator and owner of TNT Anger Management, directly. 818-264-6255. That's 818-264-6255. Or go to tntams.com.
When it comes to securing your financial future, trust is invaluable. Meet Sam Haas, your dedicated independent financial advisor and fiduciary at Haas Financial, Inc., with a focus on the unique needs of successful professionals, high net worth individuals, business owners, and retirees. Sam Haas offers expert estate, retirement, and financial planning. Known for his honesty, empathy, and hard work, Sam is committed to serving his clients with integrity. Sam's advice is sound, and his service is exceptional. Don't be overwhelmed by retirement. Go to the experts at Haas Financial. Call 866-724-2653 or visit HaasFinancial.com today. Investment advisory services are offered through Foundations Investment Advisors, LLC, an SEC-registered investment advisor, CA Insurance License Number 0482271.
If you're a business owner or looking to be one, put Littlefoot Construction on the top of your list. Littlefoot Construction specializes in restaurant remodels, tenant improvements, office remodels. Call Littlefoot Construction with all your commercial and industrial needs. Littlefoot Construction works with big or small businesses. Or even if it's a dream, Littlefoot Construction will make your vision come true. Call Littlefoot Construction at 805-491-2759. That's 805-491-2759 for all your construction needs.
Kim Pagano invites you to discover the Palm Garden Hotel, where elegance meets comfort in Thousand Oaks. After a stunning $5 million renovation, the hotel boasts a fresh and vibrant look, just under an hour from Malibu's iconic shores. Whether you're visiting for business or leisure, we offer a full array of modern amenities, surrounded by lush gardens and a serene courtyard. Our expansive 14,000 square feet of flexible event space is perfect for any occasion, from intimate gatherings to large conferences. Let our expert team bring your vision to life. We're thrilled to introduce Selvin's Restaurant Plus Lounge, ideal for your next dinner event or weekend escape. Enjoy complimentary perks like Wi-Fi parking and one of the best hot breakfasts in Thousand Oaks. Stay active in our fitness center, equipped with modern training equipment. Book your next stay with us at palmgardenhotel.com or call 805-716-4200 for reservations. We look forward to welcoming you.
Now, back to the Kim Pagano Show.
Finally, on KVTA.
Good morning, everyone, and welcome. Welcome to the Kim Pagano Show, The Brighter Side of Life. And, of course, business,
because we're talking about business. We're talking about your money. And really, the sequence of return risk is who what we're going to be talking about. And of course, joining me, Sam Haas. And you know, it's funny, now that I have you on the show, I hear money, 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 right? You know? And that's really, it's like, you know, we need to take care of our money. We need to know how to take care of it. And so Sam has been a friend of mine forever. And we, you know, he's here, he's sharing some of these incredible ideas. So I hope that you reach out to him and really take him up on some of these things that you can get knowledge from. And really be able to retire with some of your funds. So that's really what it's all about. Sam, welcome. And thank you so much for being here.
Good morning to everyone. And good morning to you. Love your beautiful smile. And
thank you.
I mean, I've seen people get into trouble, too many people that they get into trouble with this. And it's so important that we talk about it and address this, because a lot of people understand accumulation planning in this country, putting away money into different investments and this and that, but I wouldn't say no one, but there are a lot of people that don't understand income planning. And that's where they get into trouble. There's a whole bunch of rules with income planning that we're going to share that during these radio shows. So people are comfortable with it. And sequence of return risk is one of the big ones that we like to talk about. So
let's define that a little bit. For sequence of return risk, that means whatever you put your money in, you might not get it back, right? Is that true?
No, the sequence of return risk, it's true and not true. So I'll paint the picture so everyone can see it. When you retire, you got to take this income month to month. You know, you got to basically write your own checks, paychecks, mm-hmm. right? And if market is going down, obviously, you're going to lose your money faster, right? Mm-hmm. Because you got to take this same amount of money month to month. And if market's going down, you're going to lose your money much faster versus if the market is going up. That's common sense, right?
Correct.
So here's the example that really paints the picture, which is the bottom line. And that is when we are all older, in our 80s and maybe 90s, and this is not good when it happens at the older age group, obviously. So if you can imagine two individuals, one retires at between the year 2000 to year 2010, and another individual retiring from the year 2010 to year 2020, right? Mm-hmm. Both have about $500,000 of coverage. They each take about $30,000 out a year, right? $30,000 out a year. And the individual that starts from the year 2000 to year 2010, when it's done, he will have about $150,000 to his name. And the individual that retires from the year 2010 to year 2020, he'll have almost $1.2 million to his name, totally different results. And the reason being is because we had four major drops during 2000, 2001, 2002, then again 2008. And that it's not good. And the problem is at the beginning, when you retire, right? When market goes down, your account could take a big beating, and that's the problem. Versus if the market's going up, right, at the beginning, then it comes down, then you'll be okay. So we call that sequence of return risk, and it is a problem. And, people, when they retire, they want to have that predictable income coming in on portion of their money, which would be their what? their expenses, right?
That's right. So, what their bills and how they want to live their life, right?
Exactly, exactly. So we will look at this income plan. We'll design an income plan. We ask all the questions. We ask a whole bunch of questions around what are the sources of income, Social Security, do you have a pension? A lot of people don't have a pension, mm-hmm. right? Maybe you have real estate income. And what are your expenses, you know, month to month? We ask folks to go back and look at their bank accounts. Look at how much they're spending month to month. And, you know, you'd be surprised how many people do not know, you know, they're just spending, right? And
they're, you know, just maintaining, right?
Yeah, yeah. And, you know, and too many people have too much money. Also, the other way around, too. They have a lot of money and they're frugal. They don't want to spend it. They're just so worried because they have no plan, right?
Right, right.
So by doing this, we're just creating a structure so that you could see if you spend enough money month to month, okay, that you don't go over your expenses too much, and, you know, don't put all your money in the market.
Right.
You know, you have to have different, diversifying different investments in order to get the results you want. And of course, the whole income planning is centered around you. And everybody's situation is different. And that's why we take the time. We create the income plan so that you get the results. You know where you're at now and what you should do in order to sustain yourself going forward.
So Sam, is it pretty consistently done by, I know that you have the thing that people can call in, right? Your calculator, I want to call it. Your
Right. HOSTaxBill.com, HOSS taxbill.com.
And that's one more time. Thing.
Yeah, HOSS, HOSTaxBill.com.
Okay.
We created this calculator and it's an eye opener, and people could just go in there and put in how much they have in a retirement plan. They have $500,000, they have whatever amount it is. You put that in there, you put in your tax bracket, whatever it is, maybe 22%, maybe a little higher or lower. And your age, and the calculator projects going forward if you go the way you're going, how much taxes you're gonna pay.
Right.
And it's an eye-opener because people think if they have $1 million to their name in the retirement plan, not all of that money is yours. About maybe 750,000 of it is yours, but the balance goes into IRS, you know, in taxes. And that calculator shows you, based on your tax bracket, how much taxes you owe to the government.
Right.
And it also compares it with Roth conversion, Roth IRA. If you were to convert to Roth IRA, right, what would be the end results? And it's wonderful how it's all put together, because it just shows you, if you convert to Roth now, and your money, of course, is going to grow tax-free. You don't have to take any required minimum distributions at the age 73. If you were to pull money out, it comes out tax-free. And God forbid, if you pass away, it goes to the beneficiaries tax-free. So, you know, I always tell folks, come see us. You'll be happy you did. Call our number, the 8... what is this new number? I could never remember it. 866-724-2653. 866-724-2653.
Right.
And let us help you create your own plan. I promise you, you don't want the government plan. And if you don't do your own planning, meaning creating your income plan, creating your trust, designate the right beneficiaries on your accounts, making sure that ownerships are set up correctly. You know, I have people coming and going to my office all the time. Last gentleman that was telling me, you know, I have my beneficiaries correct. My spouse is the beneficiary on my IRA account, on my 401k and all that. And He comes in, we review all of it, and we come to find out he had his old spouse on as a beneficiary. Okay.
Wow. Yeah.
And I mean, it's common mistake. People don't think about these things, and it's my job to review and make sure that everything is set up correctly. The ownership, the titles on each account are so important, how it should be set up. Some people even designate the trust as the beneficiaries of their IRA accounts that they shouldn't, because trust has its own tax bracket, and you're not here. Everything goes into the trust, and the kids have to take the required minimum distributions, and they end up paying more taxes. So those little things are really important that people make mistakes. And and if you don't have a trust, your government, our government has a plan for you. If you die intestate, and it's not good. They get paid first, and that's not what you want. You want your children to get paid first.
100%. Yeah, you
And
work so hard.
that's what I'm talking about. You don't want the government plan.
Right. I like how you say the government plan, and that is true. So let me ask you a question. First of all, one reminder is to make sure that your trust is up to date, right?
Yes. And we do work with a group of attorneys that are in five different states, that they don't charge you arm and a leg to create your trust or update or your trust, review your existing trust and change it. And some people have grandchildren, things change, you need to update. And
Okay. Yeah.
these people are great to talk to, and because we refer them a lot of business, they can help you and don't charge you as much funds as most attorneys do.
Okay.
So that's another side of our business that, I'm not an attorney, I'm not a CPA, but I work with them and then refer these folks as needed. If people need a CPA, they're not happy with their CPA, we have a couple of CPAs that we work with that we could help people talk to them and put it all together. And
Right.
what's great is, as a financial planner, we can work together and create the best plan for the client,
Okay.
right?
So let me ask you. So one, people definitely need a trust. And do they have the trust first, or do you help them first? Which one comes first?
I think it should be a combination of both,
Okay.
because initially when people come in, I ask all the questions, and sometimes people don't need a trust. Depending on what the assets are, and there is no reason to talk to an attorney unless it's needed, right? So I would say it's best to give us a call. Call us at 866-724-2653, 866-724-2653, and leave your number. And if they don't answer, they're very busy. Leave your number, your name, they'll call you back, and they set up a time for us to talk. And we'll be happy and delighted to create your financial plan, your income plan. We don't charge you a penny for it, which is great. And by having that, that's just like an X-ray that you could, take to, when you go to the doctor, they need to see an X-ray as to what's going on, and
Right.
then write a prescription. It's kind of the same thing in our business. So, and that HossTaxBill.com, definitely get on that to see what your taxes are. And of course, I get that on my end to give you a call if you want to talk about it and some of the solutions there on that end. As far as the amount of taxes you pay on your qualified retirement plans and what are the solutions there. And ultimately, the sequence of return risk, that is a problem when it comes down to retirement, because when you're accumulating wealth, it doesn't matter, right?
Right.
But when you're taking income out, that's when the problems become a real problem, okay? At the when you're older.
Okay.
So,
So
yeah.
again, for our listeners, it's HossTaxBill.com, correct?
Yes.
You go on there, you put your name, it's all safe, and then you can figure out where you're at and also make an appointment with Sam. So I love this. Yeah. And give
Great.
out your phone number one more time.
866-724-2653. And I'll repeat it, 866-724-2653. You could leave your number and we will call you back to set a time for us to connect and take it from there.
All right,
Okay.
Sam, always a pleasure. And of course, I'm like thinking about everything you're saying, going, I need to get in there. I need to, like, I this is all stuff that every if I need it, you probably out there need it. So yeah, don't get caught thinking that you know everything or that you really aren't interested, and then all of a sudden you have a problem, right?
Yeah, it's never too late to check on things either, you know. And we have a whole list of things we ask you questions on, and making sure that you've done everything that you're supposed to do. And if you're missing something, we'll let you know.
I
Okay,
love it. I
very
love it.
simple.
All right. Thank you, Sam, again. And
My
we'll talk
pleasure.
to you later. Have a great weekend.
Thank you. Thank you.
All
Bye.
right. Bye-bye.
Investment advisory services offered through Foundations Investment Advisors, LLC, an SEC registered investment advisor. Sam Hoss is an investment advisor representative with Foundations. The content provided is intended for informational and educational purposes only. The views, statements, and opinions expressed herein are those of the individual speakers and not necessarily those of Foundations or its affiliates. The information discussed does not constitute an offer to sell any securities or represent an express or implied opinion or endorsement of any specific opportunity, offering or issuer or investment strategy. Each individual investor's situation is different, and any ideas provided may not be appropriate for your particular circumstances. Comments regarding a particular client's experience may or may not be the same as another client's experience and is not an indication that any client or prospective client will experience the same or a higher level of future success or performance. Any discussion of performance or returns is not indicative of future results. Foundations does not provide legal or tax advice.
And of course, I am excited to bring my next guest on, Frederick Fisher. He has been in business for over, well, it's actually coming up to 50 years. And we actually had a couple minutes to talk before this interview. And so interesting. And again, after spending 50 years in this one career, we're talking about professional liability insurance industry. And of course, he wrote a book about it, Claims Made Insurance. And of course, the policy that changed the industry. We were talking a little bit about that. I'm excited to hear and have him on our show. Welcome, Fred, and thank you so much for being here.
Oh, well, thank you, Kim. It's indeed a pleasure. And I hope that we don't clear the ways, because the fastest way to clear a room and everybody wanted to take a break is to say, oh, we're going to talk about insurance. But it is serious stuff to deal with, especially now.
Yeah, and I mean 50 years, flash back 50 years and then flash forward 50 years. So much has changed, right?
Oh, my goodness, yes. Number one, insurance policies have gotten more complicated. It now takes a lot more insurance policies, especially for businesses, that they have to purchase to cover, be protected from the type of hazards they have to worry about. For instance, in 1970, nobody worried about computer fraud. They didn't have to worry about viruses and hackers and what have you, because it didn't exist. And the same with employment practice insurance, that hadn't really taken root yet, although it was just starting in the late 70s. And so you have a lot more things to worry about. And not just for businesses, by the way. Insurance has gotten very complicated for just ordinary consumers who generally buy auto insurance, home or renters insurance, and condo coverage, and if they own a boat insurance, and that's what most consumers buy. But even those policies have gotten more complicated, as well as the fact that more and more insurance companies are really restricting coverage and forcing policyholders to really, take a good look at it. And that creates a whole different, danger. I've always believed in doing the right thing,
I
whether it
like
was
that.
my owned, my claim company for 20 years, where I got, if I read one, I wrote thousands of policies. And then I jumped to the other side of the industry, and I provided the coverage to others. And granted, we were specialists in what's called professional liability and specialty lines, like director and officer liability, what have you. But we also had to worry about the claims. I mean, if I'm insuring an insurance broker, you don't know what he's selling. He could be selling auto and homeowners, or he could be selling a business on how to insure their offshore oil rig. And so it was complicated. And so as a result, you know, my whole attitude was, number one, provide the protection. Number two, make sure my policyholder understands what they're buying. I mean, we operated as a wholesale broker. So we were not dealing with directly with the consumer. We were dealing with your broker.
Right.
But one of the reasons so many brokers used us is that we knew we had their back. In the sense that our corporate mantra, and I'm not joking when I say this, it drove my attorney crazy, was we provide financial security. We let our competitors sell you some insurance.
Wow.
That was our model. Yeah. And we delivered that expertise every time.
I love that. And let me ask you, how did, and of course the name of your book is Claims Made Insurance, Policy Change the Industry.
Well, that was a type of policy that is written for service providers. You know, when you're a business, you have general liability, and that offer that can cover you for product liability and slip and falls, basically for bodily injury and property damage. And that's an oversimplification, but that's what it does. But what if you're an attorney? What if you're an insurance broker and you commit an error? No different than running a red light or selling a defective product. Right. Your product is a service.
Right.
And you suddenly make a mistake. Well, somebody doesn't have bodily injury normally or property damage. They might, and we don't need to defer. There are exceptions. But
right.
In general, when an attorney screws up, you're not physically injured. Your property is not physically injured. You may have a $250,000 tax liability because the attorney screwed up your will and your trust, but or he failed to file a lawsuit on time. So now he's blowing the statute of limitations. But that's all considered an economic loss. And the problem with that was, before the claims made policies came out, was that everybody had a policy that was written on an occurrence basis, which meant that the accident or the mistake had to take place during the policy term. But the problem with professionals is when they commit a mistake, they may not know it, their client may not know it, and they won't know it until something else happens. Like, you know, your estate is probated after you die and you find out there's a huge tax problem because 20 years ago, your lawyer made a mistake.
Yeah, you wouldn't know it until you needed it. Correct.
Right. And so an attorney would have to keep all of their documents, all of their insurance policies forever because they could get sued in 20 years. Or an insurance broker forgets to renew somebody's policy. Nobody's going to know until an accident takes place. And then the policyholder calls up the agent and says, I need to report a claim. And then they find out, oh, we didn't renew it. I don't know what happened here. So to deal with
pretty
that,
interesting when you think about it, that in those terms, you know. And so the definition of a claim, I know that talked to us about that. Yeah.
Well, let me finish about the claims made policy, though. The point is, what triggers a claims made policy is when the third party makes a claim against you, not when you committed the error. And so that gave rise to a couple of very benefits to the insurance company.
Mm-hmm.
When a claims-made policy expires, supposedly they can close the books on that policy. In other words, we don't have to worry about paying any claims now under it. Whereas with an occurrence policy, it's got a long tail, is what they call it. And so this claims-made policies allow insurance companies to have more actuarial certainty, which means that they could lower the price. And so as the professionals industry started moving from occurrence policies to claims made, you found rapidly an occurrence policy is more expensive because it has a longer exposure. Claims made policy was cheaper because when the policy expires, in theory, insurance company doesn't have to worry about any more claims under that policy. So you have to renew it every year.
Okay.
So the biggest problem occurred in the 1970s into the early 1980s when I first got into the industry was the word claim wasn't defined. Policies were only 4 pages long. They only had 5 exclusions, you know, and what's a claim? So you had to worry about how the courts might define it.
Right.
And ultimately that changed to the point where they created more problems than they were curing, because you end up with 20 different companies writing claims made policies and they got 20 different definitions of the word claim. But
That's
it's what's in the policy that matters.
Got it.
What you're thinking in your head.
For our listeners out there, that, I mean, that's a big thing. You think that you hire somebody or you pay for insurance, but you don't know what you have in that claim until it is not usable, or you can't, or it's right.
Right. So from the perspective of the audience out there, if you're a professional and you're buying insurance, or maybe you're an executive at a company and you've got director and officer liability insurance or employment practice insurance for sexual harassment cases and what have you, or wrongful termination, or even what they call fiduciary liability for employment benefit programs. And on top of it, your company provides a service to others, so you may have a professional liability or error and omission policy. Well, they're all written on a claims-made basis. And you may have five policies to satisfy those hazards, and every one of them may have a different definition of claim or a different way in which to report that claim, which goes right back to something that now is going to apply to every listener here. What can you expect from your insurance broker?
Yeah.
Are they going to help you? Are they going to advise you? Because I can tell you, in California and 36 other states, they don't have to. They don't have to give you any advice unless they hold themselves out as an expert, misrepresent coverage, or agree to do a risk management review for a fee. So if they charge a broker fee, for instance, you might be able to hold their feet to the fire and say, where's my risk management review?
Wow.
But if they don't do any of those things, they have no more duty to advise you than your waitress at Denny's.
That's scary. That's really scary. And I know that you've actually been called an insurance coverage terrorist, right?
Oh, yes.
Why is that? Talk to us about that.
All right. Let's talk about that for a moment. I've read thousands of policies. I've read thousands of professional liability policies. I know where the gaps are. I know where the problematic language is probably going to be. I can read a professional liability policy in 15 minutes and have it highlighted in green, yellow, and red. What's good, what's bad, okay, here's what you need to know. I can do it in 15 minutes, usually. And so that's what it's about. So when an insurance company would call me up when I was acting as a broker and say, oh, Fred, we just come out with a new form. We're going to send it to you. I said, great. And I could hear the cringe on the other side because they know in 15 or 20 minutes, I'm going to send it back to them via email saying, here's what we need to fix. Because wow. I'm about providing financial security. But you know what? It benefits the insurance company too.
Yeah, it sure does.
Because now they don't have to deny coverage to an insured who thinks they were covered for this type of hazard, whatever it might be. Right. An issue. They're not going to get a bad faith lawsuit. They're not going to get a breach of contract lawsuit. And of course, the insurance company doesn't have to sue the insured saying we don't cover you.
Right.
So that's a savings for them as well.
Right. I like that.
And that's very important.
Yeah. I know that you do a great deal of public speaking. And what kind of groups do you address for this?
Lots of different groups. I often insurance producers, because I have what I call a whole series of broker beware. Here's what you need to know about this coverage. Here's a decision that just came down. Your policyholders need to be aware of this. Here's how you can make more money helping to protect your customers better. I also educate lawyers. I teach a course called Insurance 101 for attorneys, because you don't teach any business in law school. You get out of law school and you've learned the process, but you don't even know there's such a thing as local court rules, and don't ever, or local courtroom rules where a judge says, I don't care what everybody else is doing. This is my courtroom. This is how you're going to conduct yourself. They don't teach that stuff in law school. And one of the things they don't teach in law school is how insurance production works. The difference between an agent, broker, managing underwriter, managing general agent, wholesaler, or, claims departments. There are three or four different models for insurance company claim departments. What reserves are all about? How the hierarchy is involved? How about reinsurance? I mean, you think you worked out a great settlement and you think they'd be jumping at it, but what you don't realize the delay is that they have to get permission from their reinsurer. And they're looking at me like, what's that? So I give a course to attorneys that might take them 10 years to learn. And then, of course, I give courses on any number of other things, mostly geared towards insurance agents, because I'm a firm believer that your average insurance broker down the street, who's an independent insurance agent or broker, can beat the pants off the big boys by doing what the big boys won't do. The big boys are being told by their corporate counsel, don't give advice. We can't be liable. Well, that's nice. You still can be sued.
Right. So
what have you gained?
There you go.
I'd rather not have a lawsuit. So here's how you beat the big boys. Give the advice. Take your knowledge. Take your training and
take it to the next
advice. Step. Advise your client. Yeah. Document it. And if they say, no, I don't want to spend that kind of money, fine. Just document it.
That you tried to tell them. Yeah.
Yeah. What no lawsuit now.
Asking our agent or our broker.
Pardon?
What should we be asking our agent or our broker?
Number one, don't ever use the phrase, I want to be covered for everything, because that doesn't exist. Okay. And the courts have ruled it's too vague.
Right.
Now, I'm not a lawyer, but I read a lot of these cases. So, of course, always consult with an attorney. But the bottom line is, you can tell your attorney, your insurance broker what your concerns are and say, I need you to walk me through the kind of coverages that are available. So I haven't make an educated, I'm educated as to what I think I might work for me. But you say, I need you to walk me through it. Because on a homeowner policy, they never tell you what the debris removal coverage might be, right, or what the sewer backup coverage might be, or what, code and ordinance coverage, how important that is, because my house happens to be 70 years old. So what do you think the cost of repair is going to be as far as bringing the rebuild up to current code?
They should know all that.
Your agent and broker does. I can tell you he does. But the consumer doesn't even know that's there. So what sublimits, what other coverages? You have to walk me through this, Mr. Agent. And the other important thing to do, and do this in writing, authorize your insurance broker or agent to use the services of an intermediary if they need to. That's all you got to say. Use an intermediary if you need to. That creates sub-agency with a wholesale broker. Or might create sub-agency with a wholesale broker, because most wholesale brokers are going to take the position, I'm just a conduit. I have no duty to anybody. Have you ever heard of anybody not having an obligation to anyone?
No.
I took it seriously. As a wholesale broker, like I said, we advertised our expertise, which my attorney thought was out of my mind. But I said, look, I'll take the one lawsuit that where we screwed up and didn't provide it, against the 200 or 300 lawsuits we didn't have,
right,
because we did.
Right.
I read every single policy we sold. I only have to do that once, because until the form gets updated, you could sell 1,000 when it's still the same policy form. So I only had to review it once. But at least when we saw a problem, we tried to fix it by endorsement. If the insurance company did, fine. If the insurance company didn't, we had a special disclosure in our quotes.
Right.
Here's what's wrong with this policy. Consult with an attorney, but here's why we don't like it, this provision. And it was all disclosed.
I love it.
You did that. Nobody else will.
Is it called the gotcha that?
Oh, the gotchas that'll get you.
So, yeah.
That's going to be my next book, where I go through, there's 500 or more, 500 of them. But, and it's spread across all kinds of different policies, whether it's homeowner or, renter, auto, commercial policies or whatever. But some of these policies have got language in them that can help prevent a claim help prevent a claim from being paid.
Right.
And that's what I'm writing. And all of these books are really written for the consumer. They're not written for people in the industry. Even the claims made book, claims made insurance, the policy that changed the industry, that wasn't written for lawyers and insurance brokers and directors and officers. I mean, it was written from them from a consumer standpoint, but it wasn't written for the people selling it. It wasn't written for the insurance companies. They certainly can benefit from it, but I want the buyer to know what they need to know about a claims-made policy. Because, the book was preceded by a very lengthy article in which I looked at 224 claim denials.
Wow.
It fell into six categories, all of which I agreed with, and every one of them was preventable. And what's interesting about that is that the biggest percentage of policyholders of the 224, 28% of those claims denials involved law firms. Even they couldn't get it right.
That's crazy. They're already calling for you. So
well, I just silenced Fred, it.
This has been so interesting. First of all, where can we find out more about you and, of course, your books? And how can my listeners find out more?
Well, they can go to my website. There's links to all of that. It's www.fishercg.com. Fisher without a C. And the CG stands for consulting group. So fishercg.com. And there's lots of articles you can download, especially if you're having trouble sleeping. And of course, a link to the book, which is guaranteed to cure insomnia. But the book has gotten 15 five-star reviews, I think. And everybody said the same thing, how easy it is to read because I'm not talking tech.
There you go. I love it. Could we give one away?
Sure.
Okay. In fact, let's open up our phone lines, and that is 805-419-0008. That's 419-0008. All you have to do is text in right now if this is something that you would like to read and be more educated. Just put liability in there or insurance, and I'll know who you're talking about. And of course, if you don't win it, go to his website. And what is the website one more time?
www.fisher, F-I-S-H-E-R, C as in Charlie, G as in George, .com. And I'll even autograph the book for you. But the autograph is licensed. The book is free.
There you go. I want to get it. All right. Very fun. And Fred, thank you so much for being here. Please share our show with everyone. And I look forward to having you back. There's so much more. We barely touched it. I love it. Very interesting.
Be happy to. It's been a pleasure, Kim. Thank you so much.
Thank you. What a great show. Great guest. And of course, if you want to be a guest, please reach out to me. That phone number is 805-419-0008. And of course, I end all of my shows with a moment of happiness. Do the best you can. No one can do more than that. Have a great rest of your weekend, and I'll talk to you soon.